This is the Inside Slant Football Podcast.
And here we go, here we go.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com. Broadcasting around the world.
Around the world.
We have the latest on KU recruiting, analysis, and what the coaches and players are saying behind the scenes. Here are your hosts, Randy Withers and John Kirby.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome into our first in-season edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We are ready to finally kick off the 2022 football season with our weekly game preview episodes. We're going to talk about the depth chart, thoughts on this team, preview the matchup with Tennessee Tech, give our predictions, and even update things from the recruiting trail a little bit. But maybe the biggest piece of it, we've got a great guest, our good friend and, you know, Kansas Jayhawk luminary, David Lawrence, analyst of the KU football broadcast, joins us today. But before we do that, let me welcome on my partner and the publisher of JayhawkSlant.com, John Kirby. JK, we are finally here.
Man, it feels, Randy, I don't know what it is, and maybe it's just the way things are structured now with social media, and the you go through spring ball, and then the summers are long, and then I'll tell you, you know, fall camp just drags on, because I look at the people who are on our site, they're different than a lot of the KU fan base, right? The people on our site understand KU football. They know it. They follow it so much closer than a lot of people that you see just in the mainstream, you know, the KU fans, you know, the people that live on our site. So I've always said this, after about 2 weeks of fall camp, the subscribers on our site, they want to start knowing more. Well, in fall camp, you don't get that, okay? I mean, you get a little tidbit of who looks good, and a little tidbit of maybe who's passing somebody or a couple position battles, but really people in the program keep a lot of that stuff close to the vest, and, you know, you kind of, I call it the fall camp wall, and I think we definitely hit it about 10 days ago, so man, I'm telling you, this Friday night, this is what I live for, because, you know, our fans are ready to see football. So, hey, listen, where are you going to be Friday night? I was just thinking about that. I'll be in the press box, but you may be in a high school press box, huh?
You know what? With this Friday, because of everything that's going on, I am going to make sure that I'm probably going to stay home. I'll probably be watching high school games on my phone while I've got the KU game on the big screen. And I've been waiting for this game. And with all the talk that we've had this offseason, with the way that this program has changed and the continued really evolution of the Kansas football program or Lance Leipold, there's no way that I will not be absolutely glued to everything that is going on at Memorial Stadium on Friday night. Well, disrespect to the high school action, but that's going to be where I'm looking at Friday night.
Well, I didn't know if you'd be in the 810 studios or having to do the post game on Friday night, because, you know, it's Friday night high school football.
Exactly. And, you know, it's entirely possible that that might happen. Chad and I are still kind of laying out the plans for Friday, but all I know is, regardless, if I'm at 810, if I'm at a high school game, if I'm at home, I'm going to have at least one eye on the Jayhawks.
Absolutely. Hey, speaking of high school, I don't know, it was maybe earlier in the week, and I was talking to a friend of mine. He's a head high school football coach, and he goes, Kirby, why does Kansas keep scheduling these games on Friday nights? You know, and I told him, I said, the last 2 years, KU's opponent the following week has played on a Thursday, okay? And no coach in their right mind is going to let another team that they're going to play the following week have a two-day buffer, a two-day rest zone over them. That's a huge advantage. And when I told this coach that, he goes, oh, okay, I totally get that. Like, he had no idea this was why they do it. But when I explained to him, you know, as a coach, he goes, oh, I totally get it. And he goes, I would do the same. So, you know, I want to make sure that that's out there, because I know Friday nights, man, it's football around here and everything. And trust me, I guarantee you, Kansas does not want to be playing on a Friday night or a Thursday night. They want to play on Saturday. But in these situations, you know, that's how it works out.
Absolutely. And I know that even like you say, that the our fans on our message board are fantastic. They are hardcore Kansas football fans, but even some of them don't understand how the Friday night Saints situation has transpired a couple times now. So I think that's a great place to start. It's just kind of the explanation for why we're where we are. But now as we move forward, I think it's the perfect time to kick everything off. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Kirby. He has our good friend David Lawrence on the studio line. Let's preview the matchup with Tennessee Tech as we get ready for the Kansas Jayhawks football opener.
To start the season off with our weekly podcast, I had to bring in my man David Lawrence, who, it was so funny the other day, somebody came up to me and they said, Kirby, you've seen it all with KU football for the last 20 years. And they said, there can't be anybody that's seen what you have. And I said, oh no, David Lawrence, definitely. So David, how you doing, man?
That just makes me older, John. I am older. So I would agree with that, but you certainly, someday you will hold that crown.
Well, I don't know. I'll tell you what, hopefully when I do, you and I can sit here and talk about a team that's turned the corner and won some games. But listen, David, I'm not going to break tradition, okay? Every year at this time, you come on the podcast, and the very first thing that I always talk to you about, that you and I, when we see each other, we talk about the offensive line. So give me your thoughts on what you've seen.
Well, as you know, and I'm sure you've told your viewers, and your viewers are the hardcore, so they know this. It's not our deepest position. It might have less depth than other positions, but we also know that if you have seven healthy guys and they can interchange, then with a little luck you may get through the year. You'd rather have eight or nine, but and I don't know what our number is right now. Certainly we've got some guys, and I'm sure you've talked about the transfer, Dominic Pooney, who's it's really interesting because he didn't come from a big school. He kind of went under the radar, even by the hardcore fans, looking at our transfer portal guys. But he's going to go down as one of the better ones because he's the real deal. And he has certainly given them added depth. I know they got a new guy that has come in, and I saw him today, and I think he could add to that depth, but right now Pooney added to the five that we've seen of Bostic and Ford and Nowitzki and Reed Adams and Cable do. And it kind of fits our whole team, John. We are better at every position group, but we just don't know, and of course no one knows just how much better are they, and where that's going to place us. And but I think the offensive line is better. I mean, Reed Adams nicknamed himself Big Dog. He's lost 100 pounds. He looks tremendous. Nowitzki is a stud. I mean, he's the leader up front. Bostic is so athletic. Cable Dew's a year better. They'll all use that experience they had when maybe they weren't ready to play in Big 12 competition. But, that's going to help him now. And we can only look back to a year ago with of the outside.
And just kind of combining them in with the rest of the offense. What's your take? What's your feel on the offense?
Well, the offensive line would always get bashed, and, perhaps deservedly so. They get bashed the most when the blocking's not good. But in years past, and I'm not specifically talking about last year, as you know, John, our perimeter people didn't block. Our tight ends and fullback did not block up to Big 12 standards. And I think, tight end is going to be a much improved position. Tavita Noah is going to be a guy that, maybe could be used as a blocking type guy. They're going to be interchangeable with the fullback position, if we use the fullback, and that could be a game by game basis. Mason Fairchild is another guy, and we are athletic. and got a number of people at that tight end position that show the ability to block and catch the football. And you know, John, everyone that's coached the game, and you know, I always look back to Tom Osborne in Nebraska in the 1970s. You know, he was a good coach, but you know, Nebraska had like 100 walk-ons, and I think that's what made that dynasty. And it helps having competition that makes everyone better. But I think that's what this team has. And, you know, maybe the biggest thing that occurred, I'm sure you've talked with your people, that we are now on a level playing field. We actually get to line up against teams with like number of scholarships. And, you know, in the years past, it was literally 60 scholarships going against 80. And, you know, we had tough enough time matching up man to man. But when you're talking about numbers, having a lack of numbers and a lack of quality players, I mean, that's what made the struggle for, you know, for more than a decade against other teams. But now being able to line up similar number of scholarship players, that's going to change everything. And I failed to mention Trevor Cardell. I mean, there's a guy that's very athletic as a tight end. That's going to make that a position to where, you know, you can run heavy sets and boost your offensive line. And the running backs, you know, if you were to point to a couple of positions where, you know, okay, I know this is going to be, you know, upper level Big 12 conference. I think running back and defensive end would be the first two positions to talk about. You know, Devin, Sevion, Kai, and Daniel Hyshaw, you know, there's a lot of secrets get out, and you're on top of this stuff. But Hyshaw's had a tremendous camp, and you got to feel so good about him. And you know, the bad luck our staff had, you know, they were shorthanded, didn't have a spring ball of last year, and then they get, you know, some bad news in fall camp, and Hyshaw being one of those guys. But the way he has fought back, and Tory Loughlin, you know, there's going to be some Tory Loughlin packages in there as well. And, you know, it sounds, you know, like we're going to use them all, and well, we should. And it just gives us ability to do so many things. And Kodo Nicky, just, you know, very imaginative, creative, is going to find ways to use all those guys. And it could be situational, but the running back position is just, you know, makes you smile. The wide receiver group, and, you know, I know the recent news, you know, has people a little bit down right there, but you know, I still think this will be a better position, even without Lassiter. There's just so many people. I mean, Luke Grimm, you know, it's hard to put, you know, Arnold and Grimm and Skinner is, you know, maybe most improved, but there's just a number of people to throw in there that are so much better. You know, I can't wait to see Tanaka Scott, because he's made tremendous strides as well. All these guys have stepped up their game. Kevin Terry, another unfortunate injury that we had just before the season started. Those guys are bigger, stronger, and the one in a million that we got from Minnesota, he's going to make that group even better. And I'm speaking of Doug Emelian. So I think that can be a strong group as well. And you know, who knows, you know, how many receivers we'll use, how many tight ends, running backs that we'll use, but I do think there's some options. But the biggest factor is a quarterback play. When it comes down to it, John, this probably goes for every year. You know, what's going to make the biggest difference in how many wins we have. And that's the play of our quarterback and turnovers. I mean, that's what football is all about. And, I'm a JD believer, you know, ever since he came in from California and out there as a 17-year-old. No, he wasn't ready to play, but an enthusiastic kid. He's got charisma. He's a leader. He's got a cannon for an arm. He's athletic. He prefers to throw the ball. And his decision-making at the end of the year last year I thought was excellent, and he's just looking to expand on that. And then maybe the most valuable person a team can have in college football, and that is a quality backup quarterback. Because you think about it, John, no one is going to come into a season knowing they're going to be the backup anymore. They're going to get in the portal.
Right. And, absolutely.
And so it's great to have a guy that, you know, we can go to, and Leipold has just raved, and Kotelnicki did as well today, about Jason Bean and, you know, how they can have a different package for him. And, you know, he's a self-appointed fastest player on the team, and maybe rightfully so, that they can get him involved. So, you know, not going to sugarcoat it. The quarterback position and turnovers are the two biggest factors, but I'm a JD fan, and I can't wait to see him. He's a selfless guy. He runs a naked boot so well. He throws across his body. He can throw outside the hash. And he's shown to be a good decision maker. So let's see if he can improve upon that, because if he can, this Kansas team is certainly going to prove a lot of people wrong.
And, you know, one thing JD brings is, God, he's just such a good leader. You know, I think his leadership's grown. So, hey, you know, David, before I move to the defense, just, you know, just a comment, but I'm really looking forward. You know, Kotelnicki talked early in camp about being the mad scientist and putting the pieces to the puzzle together in the scheme. I'm really looking forward to these first 2 to 3 games to see what that looks like, because, you know, you always wonder what he's got up his sleeve that you don't get to ever see in fall camp. So I think that'll be interesting. So,
And you know, I know he just wants to win this game. I don't know if he would tell us, you know, how much he's going to. That'll be the first question they get asked in post game. You know, how much did you hold out for West Virginia? I know going in, the answer is going to be, hey, we just want to, you know, we want to win against Tennessee Tech, and that's all they're going to say. But, you know, West Virginia's got a. They've got a big game before and after us. So, you know, we can talk about that, you know, at a later date. But we just want to be 1-0 at the end of this. But I agree with you about JD, his leadership, and the guys look up to him. Everyone looks up to this guy. And, you know, he can make plays. He's got the experience. He's been beat around. I've been a big fan ever since I saw him.
So, great stuff on the offense. So, you know, we'll wrap it up, switching to the other side of the ball. You know, obviously there's some transfers that have come in, but, you know, what's your take on the defensive side?
Well, so much depth. And unlike, very similar to our Big 12 brethren, they listed starters, but, you know, it's probably about 25 starters across there. And that's good, right? And that's probably the way the rest of the Big 12 has been. And that's what you need. Just depth everywhere. The defensive line is probably the easiest to, you know, pinpoint to say, you know, this is certainly one of the strengths of this team. Lonnie Phelps, I'll just say, look for number 47 and let's see what, you know, what all the threads say on Saturday, because I'm sure they're going to be excited about what they see from this young man. But Matt Malcolm Lee is so athletic. He is so intelligent. And Jeremy Robinson had a tremendous camp. He is a long, long athletic dude. And then Hayden Hatcher just continues. I mean, he's kind of a quiet guy, just a hardworking kid that you can count on. And when he comes in there, he'll be on special teams. I love Demarion Alexander, but you know, he's back three, you know, and Tommy Dunn, he could be a backup or even a three, and Caleb Taylor. Eddie Wilson's had a tremendous camp. We don't know how much these guys were dinged last year, but I think Eddie may have been, because he just has a different fire underneath him this year, and I love what he's doing inside. And DJ and Tommy Dunn, the two young kids, are going to be great depth inside. And, of course, Sam Burt, who probably reads helmets as good as anybody. That's why he'll probably be in on the first and second down snaps. And Caleb Taylor, who's now gotten to the bigger size. He's very athletic. So, you know, while there's always doubts until you start playing in the game, the defensive line and the running back position would be easy to say, well, you know, we know that, you know, we've got a solid Big 12 group in these position groups.
David, I'll tell you what, if there's anybody, like I said, that has been around and knows KU football, it's David Lawrence. And I look forward during the season. I told you I'm going to hit you up every now and then to bring you on the podcast because everybody loves to hear what you have to say. And I really appreciate you joining us.
Well, you know, and I always, because the hardcore fans hang out with you, and I like those guys. You know, they hung with us, you know, whether you know, the seasons look very bleak or not. And so my heart goes out to them. I feel like we got a little brotherhood going on. But, you know, linebacker will be our most improved position, and we'll just see how much that improvement is. And then, you know, back to what I said about depth and how that makes the holdovers better. But, you know, we have a lot of transfers, but don't sleep on OJ and Kobe and Melo. Because I'm telling you, you know, these guys had to play last year because they were talented, but they were young, and they didn't, you know, probably didn't 100% know everything, what's going on around them. So now those guys have studied the game, and they're athletic, and, you know, they're competing with some proven veterans from, you know, Purdue and Michigan State and Grant and Gervin. It's going to be a solid group, and we'll just see how much they improve. And certainly Craig Young, I mean, that's what an NFL player looks like, folks. And he's going to be playing in space. I love what he has to say. He shows leadership. You always look at the transfers and say, hey, what went wrong? Maybe, you know, maybe this guy's not legit. Now, you've talked to him as well. I mean, this guy seems like a legit leader, a student of the game that's just going to – he's going to be one of those guys, you know, that you're going to be – your followers are going to be talking about on Saturday morning. You know, did you see what number 15 did out there on the field? Because, you know, he's really fast, folks, and he's really big, and he's going to get the balls that we couldn't get to before. He's going to get his hands up there, and he's going to make tackles. So I'm looking forward to it. Maybe the biggest question marks, just because it's not a, you know, you can't really, at least I can't, go into practice, you know, see special teams compete, you know, like what you see in game situations. We'll need to get better in special teams. I think we will. We've got everyone returning, but you know, that's going to be an area I look forward to seeing, just, you know, how much we've improved in that area, because you can't win games if you're not solid in special teams.
Well, one of your good, you know, one of the good positives there is with the depth they've brought in, especially at, you know, your receivers and linebackers and safeties, you know, those guys can now give you some special team snaps too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you got the Hayden Hatchers and the Marion Alexanders and, you know, the Quentin Lassiters and, you know, these guys, Ed White Schultz, who may not be getting 30 snaps and is not going to be winded, that's going to get out there and cover their tail off. But that's a great point you made, and that is absolutely correct.
Well, David, that is a great breakdown on the Jayhawks, and hopefully you and I bringing you back maybe week two, week three. You know, there's some good things to cover and some success we've been watching, and can't wait to hear you on the call, and definitely we're going to have you back on. Thanks for joining us.
Well, always excited about Kansas football, as you know, and honored to be a part of what you do, John, so thanks so much.
All right, David, have a good one. We'll see you Friday.
All right, thanks, John.
Kirby, it's always great to hear from David Lawrence and hear his thoughts on this squad.
Oh, David is great. And like I said in the little story in there, somebody asked me, they said, God, Kirby, you've seen so much with KU football in the last 20 years. You've had to see more than about anybody else. And I said, no, I got to put David Lawrence up there. He's seen a lot. So, hey, he's great. Anytime we can get David on, I told him I'm going to hit him up about every couple, two, 3 weeks. So we're definitely going to come back to him.
That's awesome. That is awesome. We've heard from David Lawrence. I want to go ahead and get your thoughts, Kirby, on your take about where this program is basically on the eve of the home opener 2022 season, kicking off year two under Lance Leipold. Kirby, give us the state of the program.
Yeah, Randy, listen, this thing's moving in the right direction, okay? And you know, I've said this several times. I've seen so many different programs run so many different ways under Kansas. And I think the big thing that probably stands out to me is, you know, culture is a buzzword that's used a lot. But I want to say it's like everybody's moving in the right direction. And I don't know if that means culture or not, but when you're around the players and the coaches and the things that I hear off the record and behind the scenes, like everyone knows together on the same page where they all want to get, and they're all moving in the same direction to get there, right? I mean, listen, I have seen Kansas staffs in the past where there's two or three assistants. They don't agree with what, you know, a coordinator's putting together, or, you know, there's some players, pockets of players over here that, you know, are kind of renegades and do their own thing. I mean, I've heard this stuff behind the scenes, and you just don't hear that stuff now. I mean, and maybe it is part of the culture, but everyone in this program is moving in the right direction. There's structure, there's organization. You know, as Gary say, there's discipline, right? And then, of course, I got to tell you this story, Randy. I'll tell you what. I was on Sirius Radio talking about KU football. And it was the week before. I want to say it was a Friday. It was either Thursday or Friday when the news came out about the KU football players getting arrested, or allegedly. I was on a Sirius Radio show, and I was talking about how disciplined and everything Lance Leipold has. And I said, knock on wood, I said, there has just been no issues with players getting in trouble. 15 minutes after that interview was over, I see the thing.
Oh,
somebody sent me the thing from the Journal World that says 2KU football players in trouble. And I'm going, no way. Did I just jinx that thing from that
You
radio?
Didn't knock on wood when you were on Sirius XM.
No, I didn't. But, you know, the state of the program is, everything's going in the right direction. What does that mean? People always ask me, how many wins? Dude, I don't know. I have no idea. Okay. What I do know, this football team's better. This football program is better. Kids are bigger, faster, stronger. Okay. Does that mean they're going to beat Oklahoma State this year? I don't know. Does it mean they're going to beat Oklahoma? You know, there's still some good teams they have to play. I think they're going to narrow the gap with the opponents, but I love the direction of where this thing's going. So, I mean, if I had to say what's the state of the program is, the one thing I will say is they are 100% a better football program than they were at the end of last season, which we saw at the end of last season. They were starting to show some strides.
Absolutely. You know, we got our first look at the depth chart this week, John. Any surprises when you saw the release from the KU program?
You know, there was a few, but then, you know, Randy, sometimes these depth charts are kind of put together a little bit of entertainment purposes, a little bit of message sending on the inside of the program, if you will. And I don't know how much I really read into it. You know, you had there's four really good running backs on this team. Okay. I mean, five, if you count Tory Loughlin. I think they'll probably do some different things with him, move him around. But they all had an or next to their name, man. It was four running backs with an or. Okay. And I know what they're trying to say. They're trying to say, we've got four running backs that we feel we can put in the game anytime, anywhere. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, Devin Neal will start and Hyshaw will be the first backup as long as they're healthy. That's my prediction. But the oars there kind of threw some things off. I knew Dominic Pooney, the transfer from Central Missouri State, I knew he would have been there, so that wasn't a real surprise to me. Probably the biggest one that I saw was, you know, Craig Young or Gavin Potter. I think that, you know, from everything that I've heard, Craig Young might be the best defensive player on the team. So, I mean, you know, I expect Young to be out there. You know, there was a safety with O.J. Burrows and Marvin Grant, and that's one of those deals where you can rotate guys with Kenny Logan. You know, Marvin Grant's more of a physical, knock-you-down guy. Burrows is a little bit more of a pass, cover in space. So they're two kind of different safeties, so they can be used in different times. And the defensive coordinator, Brian Borland, said that their depth chart for that upcoming week, every week, is going to be based on the opponent they play. And if they're playing a team that brings in a fullback and hits you in the A and the B gap with a lot of running, you're going to see different lineups. If you're playing somebody who's four wide and hurry up, you know, offense and spreads it out, you're going to see a different lineup. So, you know, there weren't a lot of surprises to me, but you know, I think that depth chart is going to be an ever-changing sheet of paper all week, all year long.
We've talked about the depth chart. It's all basically everything. The hay is in the barn, as a lot of my favorite old coaching friends would say. Week one, Tennessee Tech going to be in, you know, basically going to be here in a little over 24 hours coming into Lawrence Memorial Stadium. What are your thoughts on this game, the matchup with Tennessee Tech, and give me a prediction on this one too.
Yeah. You know, I've had a chance to talk with their sports information guy there. He's been real helpful with a lot of information, some Q&A he's going to also do this week for us. You know, their quarterback, he might be the best player on their team by position. Jeremiah Oatesfall, he actually came from Austin Peay. So he was I want to say it was 2018, he was the OVC preseason player of the year. Okay, he was coming off a great year. Then he got hurt, and he only played in a couple games. And then the next season was the COVID season, where they only played, I want to say, three games. And then he transferred to Memphis. He didn't play at Memphis, so he's transferred to Tennessee Tech. That conference already knows he's a really good football player. So, you know, he'll be somebody to watch for them. They've got a couple freshman wide receivers who jumped up and had really good camps, who I believe are at the top of the depth chart, and they're probably going to start. They've got a running back, David Gist, who was just shy of 1,000 yards last year. A little bit of experience back at offensive line. Defensively, they play a bend, don't break. Their strength is their secondary. And coming out of, you know, I thought this was interesting. They said they really liked how many guys stayed around in the summer, right? So, you know, at KU, that's not an option, right? You're there in the summer, but it just goes to show you at Tennessee Tech, obviously there's some, you know, some gray area where if you got to leave and go home for a while, you can do that. But they liked how the returning guys in, and they had some transfers, and they said everybody's caught on pretty quick and they liked their depth. But listen, Kansas is going to be ready for this game. I'm hearing some things about maybe a little nicer crowd than what was anticipated a week or two ago. I hear there's been some excitement in the ticket office this week, and I think KU is going to come out ready to play. And they're the better team. They're the more talented team. And you know, Kansas has some depth, and they're going to be able to play some guys. And it's, you know, I want to say kickoff. I think I saw it here just a little bit ago, 90 and sunny. So, I mean, it's, you know, there's going to be, I don't know, at kickoff, I think I saw it like 5 or 6 is going to be 90. So, you know, Kansas depth, they'll wear them down. I'm going to go Jayhawks 45, Tennessee Tech 14. So I am coming out with a bang in the first week, calling for a blowout. Give me yours.
John, it's not very often that you and I agree. We have talked about this over the years where our picks, they typically were on opposite ends. This is one of those rare occasions. I'm with you. I'm not going to pick a score, but I'm going to tell you, I expect Kansas to win by 21 points. I expect a 3-score differential between them and Tennessee Tech coming into Lawrence. I think that this program has, you know, there's still a long way to go, but the progress has been such. The improvement of the talent, the improvement of the depth, just the fact that these guys are a full year in now to a system that last season at this time, they were still learning on the fly. The culture has been established. People know what to expect. You told a story one time about how, you know, one of Coach Leipold talked about how they were worried about where guys were going to sit on the plane. This year, all of those little procedural matters are taken care of. Everybody knows what to expect. The standard has been established. Guys know where to be and what they're supposed to be doing. With that familiarity, that repetition comes precision. And I expect Kansas to come out and win this one by 21 points. If they don't, I don't think that's necessarily an indication that, hey, maybe there are problems. Maybe they're not as far along as we want them to be. Because after all, it is a Friday night game. It is week one of just this administration's second year in Lawrence. We saw last year they got better progressively as the season goes on. I still think that's exactly what we're going to see, but I really believe they're going to come out and they're going to make a statement tomorrow on Friday night, and I'm excited to see it. Now, John, you broke the news on a couple visitors on our message board. You know, with it being a Friday night, you'd said recruiting is going to be kind of tricky, you know, to have guys in on visits because so many guys are going to be playing on Friday night. You broke the news on the board that there are going to be a couple visitors in town. Is there anything, any other news from the recruiting trail you can share with us?
Yeah, Randy, you know, the visitor thing's going to be slow, okay? I mean, you know, we talked about the Friday night game, so your local, usually during the season, your unofficial visitors are usually local guys, okay? So yeah. A lot of the 2023 class, a lot of these guys have decided locally, and they're all playing their games Friday night. And then Kansas goes on the road for the next 2 weeks. So, you know, the recruiting news could be a little slow over the next few weeks with not many visitors. But Antario Thompson from Iowa Western is one of the guys I talked about this week. I had a story on him. He's a defensive lineman. And then he'll be at Nebraska the next week. Jameel Croft from Martin Luther King in Detroit. You know, obviously, Rich Miller, Marvin Grant went to that same high school, and Kansas is building that nice pipeline in Detroit with Chris Simpson, who's the recruiting coordinator and linebackers coach, is doing a real nice job there. And, you know, Jameel Croft knows it. He knows and sees the guys from Detroit going to Kansas. So, you know, so couple names to watch. Jamarian Wilcox, he's a running back. He is the teammate of Kason Wiseman, who's the quarterback committed to Kansas.
Yes, sir.
I know Kansas is making a play at him. He's got a lot of stuff going on. He'll be a tough one, but they're definitely in it with him. Mason Goldman, I had an update on him, offensive lineman for Nebraska. I really thought at one time he may pull the trigger and commit, but he's starting to get some more interest. And he told me he would really like to commit before his senior year or maybe within a week into his senior year. But then he told me the other day, he's starting to get enough interest. He's probably going to let this thing go out a little bit. So we'll see how that goes. DJ Jones, had a little communication with him today, defensive end from Florida. I think he's somebody that maybe some people have forgotten about because he visited in June.
Yeah.
Yeah. People thought he might commit to Kansas. He hadn't. And then the trail's gone cold, but he told me he talks to Panagos like every day, every other day. So those two are staying pretty tight. And then another guy Panagos is on, Garland's Milfort. We call him G. He goes G by
G. G from Florida.
Yeah, yeah. So he's, you know, he's another guy that I expect to take an official visit sometime here during the season. And, you know, Randy, I still think, I think they're at 9 commitments. I think they're going to end up with somewhere around, I'm staying with the 15 number. Okay, 15 high school guys. And then that opens things up for the portal. That gives them a chance to watch this team this year. It gives them a chance to say, okay, boy, we thought this group would be better. We're going to need to hit the portal for this. We thought maybe this group would be better. Or they could say, we're pretty good here, and we're going to be okay. Let's go get another high school kid. So, you know, these numbers are going to change. And with the portal and the transfer thing, man, nothing is set in stone anymore. But if I had to say from the things that I had heard previously, 15, 16, the number of high school guys, and then maybe go find 9 guys in the portal. So that's kind of where things are right now with recruiting.
That is the latest from the recruiting trail, and that will do it for the first pregame podcast of the 2022 Kansas football season. I'm Randy Withers for our publisher, John Kirby. You're listening to the Inside Slant podcast. We will talk with you again next week. Rock chalk.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.